Amen. Let's remain standing and go to the book of Isaiah this morning, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Title of today's message, a little bit unique today. We're in between our book studies here, and I kind of announced this last week, but the title is COVID-19, 5 years later, what did God teach us? And COVID-19, 5 years later, what did God teach us? And some of you maybe who are new, kind of like, what in the world is going on? Where is he going with this? And you'll see it's not that controversial. All right? There in Isaiah chapter 41, let's read verse 10. And I'll explain why this verse is being read a little bit later in the message. But Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, I pray that the focus would be on your word and on your glory this morning. Remind us again of these great truths from your word. Lord, let the distractions be few and our attention be on what you would have us to learn. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated this morning. Have you ever had something that you really wanted to say, but just never quite had the opportunity to say it, and it just kind of ate at you, you know? Well, about 5 years ago, this thing that we learned or came to know as COVID-19 rocked our world, and everywhere you went, it was all you heard about. I mean, the gas station, the grocery store. I mean, from school to work to church to social media to the news, that's all anybody everywhere was talking about. And of course, when things, I guess, first started happening as a church, we had to talk about certain things. We had to, you know, talk about certain policies and so on and so forth. But eventually, just personally, out of a conviction, I felt like everywhere we went, it's all we were hearing about. So I kind of made a personal decision that I was going to treat COVID-19 sort of as a bad word. And I kind of vowed that I'm not going to say that word from this pulpit unless absolutely necessary. Again, there were times where we had to talk about certain things as a church and service times and so on and so forth. But during that time, I just felt like if you came to church, maybe for just like a few minutes, you could kind of forget about it and focus on the Word of God. Well, over 5 years, I've had notes in my phone, just different truths that the Lord was reminding me about or laying on my heart that I felt, honestly, I want to share this. And if not now, when? 5 years ago this month, the first confirmed case of COVID-19 was found in Ohio, March 9th, 2020. 5 years ago this month, our president declared a national emergency because of the coronavirus. It's generally believed that this outbreak began because of a lab leak in Wuhan, China, and yet no one could have ever imagined the effect that this disease would have on our world, that it would have on us, our schools, our jobs, our military, our churches. Lives were lost, families were separated from their dying loved ones and their friends, lockdowns, quarantines, masks, vaccines, mass hysteria, social distancing. Even when you go into stores now or certain restaurants, if you look closely enough, you can see remnants of all the signs about 6 feet here and there and mask and, of course, wash your hands, which nobody did before 2020. But through it all, what did the Lord teach us? And I don't believe I'm going to share some new truth with you this morning. Maybe God didn't teach us this for the first time during COVID-19, but what did he remind us of? I got 8 truths that God reminded us of, and I think we still need reminded of 5 years later. Here's the first truth, and maybe the most important. Number one, God is in control. Can you say amen to that? God is in control. And when everything seemed out of control, when everything was out of our control, God did not lose control. I'm reminded in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, there is a heavenly vision that the prophet is given. This vision was given in a time of great turmoil and uncertainty for the Jewish people. For Uzziah, their king, who had been king for 52 years, died because of some very unusual circumstances. To say the least, people were fearful. They were afraid. They were unsure of what was going to happen. And in the midst of all of that, here is the vision that God gives to Isaiah. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Friend, no matter what is going on here on this earth, this much is true. God is still in heaven. He is still seated on his throne, unmoved by what is happening. And here God is. He is in the temple, his temple, on the throne, his throne, and his robe fills the temple. Verse 2 says, "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." Verse 3, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Let me tell you this much. Not one time during the pandemic did those seraphim ever cease from crying out and declaring the holiness of God. Verse 4 says, "And the post of the door moved." What post are these? Not some man-made post, but the post of the temple of heaven began to shake at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Although we may be shaken because of our circumstances, God is never shaken. He is the one who shakes the temple of heaven. In verse 5, Isaiah's response, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Can I tell you today, he is still seated on that throne right now. COVID-19 did not shake our God. You know, there were some even pastors who said ridiculous things like, "Well, this just isn't God's plan," and, "Well, God wasn't really expecting this." I thought, what? God did not lose control during the world's pandemic. His power was not thwarted. His divine plan was not spoiled. He was not caught off guard, surprised, shocked, startled, stunned, and he did not stagger. The Lord is still reigning. Not good luck or bad luck. Not karma. Not some dumb horoscope, all right? We're not talking about chance. The Lord Almighty, the omnipotent one, who through every positive test, quarantine, tragic death, did not for 1 second surrender his authority. The only true God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is in control. Number two, what did God remind us of? We have so much to be thankful for. When so many of us had no idea what to do, you know what the Lord reminded us? That in every situation, here is his will, his desire for his people. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In every lockdown, quarantine, pandemic, sickness, in every what? Thing. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We learn to be thankful for things we take for granted every day, like going to the park with our kids, being with our friends, going to church, toilet paper. All right. School. And all our wonderful teachers here were like, now you see what we deal with every day? And all those who already were homeschooling are like, now do you see what we deal with every day, right? How many things did we realize we take for granted? Praise the Lord for all of our nurses and medical workers. Through COVID, the Lord taught us to be thankful for what we have. Did anyone who got it lost, or did you lose your smell and your taste? Did anybody? All right, quite a bit of you. In 35 years of life, I had never thanked God for my taste buds, which I used every day of my life. And yet, once they were gone, man, I wanted them back. I remember I lost my taste, my smell. I was craving anything that would give me any sensation. I was dipping French fries in mustard and hot sauce, and just like, I wanted to just, I remember calling Buffalo Wild Wings. I was like, give me the hottest wing you have. Like, I just want to feel anything right now. And it was gone, and I thought, man, how silly. I should have lost 15 pounds over the lockdowns and quarantine, you know? I couldn't taste anything. I should have just been eating celery all day long. And yet, because I'm an American, I'd rather eat a cheeseburger I can't taste than a salad that I can. Everybody said, amen, all right? Oh, man, we had so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. I lost my taste, some lost their life. I lost my smell, some lost their job. Think about it like this. There are about a million things God is doing right now in your life, and you may know about 20 of them. We have so much to be thankful for. Number three, God's word is the only source of absolute truth. Emphasis on the only source. Psalm 119, 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You know, day after day, the story changed, didn't it? The narrative changed. The numbers changed. They'd go up, they'd come down. We're okay, we're doomed. Everything's fine, it's the end of the world. Stay inside, go outside. You can go there, but you can't go over here. There were so many opinions on both ends of the spectrum, you really couldn't find like a solid source of consistency. Add on top of that, the at most times untrustworthy, in it for a big headline media, right? Add on top of that, everyone who became a Google expert overnight, right? Is it a pandemic? Is it a plandemic, right? Who can we trust? Oh, let's trust the government, right? Because they've never been untrustworthy ever. And where do we go? It was like there wasn't even a general consensus among believers as to should we do this or should we do that. Usually we can look to the community of Christianity and find, all right, where should we be on the spectrum here? But churches became divided. Churches became legalistic. If you don't do the things that we're doing, you know, or respond the way that we're responding, then you're not doing it the right way. To mask or not to mask. To vax or not to vax. To stream or not to stream. These were the questions people were asking. And if you don't have the same opinion I do, then you're wrong. There were some who said, if you really love your neighbors like Jesus called you to, you will do X, Y, and Z. And if you don't do these things, then you don't love your neighbors. At the same time, many of those people making no effort to actually love their neighbor by sharing the gospel with them. Everything was confusing. You know, there were some who left the church because we didn't take enough precautions here at LBC. Hey, that's your personal decision. I'm sorry you feel that way. There were others who left because we took too much precaution. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. Some said they didn't come because it was just too different. And I was like thinking, like everywhere else? Things were changing. Some said, we're not coming anymore because it doesn't feel personal anymore. So they're their solution was, let's just not come at all. That's personal. Some manipulated the Word of God, trying to prove their point on something the Bible doesn't address directly. Some twisted Scripture. There were some churches who called other churches dens of thieves and robbers because some didn't close down and others didn't close down long enough, and so all that church wants is your money. That's why they're staying open. And I was thinking, our offerings went up when we went to live stream. It made more financial sense. Like, we weren't doing anything, not spending money on anything. It made sense to kind of stay shut down. You know something that crossed my mind? I wonder where all those faith healers went during COVID-19. They must have been hibernating or something. I mean, does anyone remember Kenneth Copeland? You guys know Kenneth Copeland, the scoundrel, the faith healer? I mean, that guy, he may be demonic. I'm not kidding. Do you remember, anybody see that video where he tried to blow away COVID? Literally? Some of you saw that, and he blew while he was social distance to the person beside him. Oh, man. Hey, if anything, COVID-19 exposed every single person claiming to have these miraculous gifts because they got sick, they wore masks, they quarantined just like everybody else. With so much confusion, God reminded us that even churches are not the source of absolute truth. Let's be honest, things got kind of weird during COVID. Most people and businesses had no idea what to do or what precautions to take, but they knew, well, we have to do something. And so sometimes that something really defied logic. But it's like, we did it. We had, look at what we did. Look at our list. And I remember being at a Zumbezi Bay water park and with the kids. And you know that big bucket that fills up with water and like dumps on you? Some of you guys know. And there were many entrances and exits, but because of COVID, we have to do something, so we're going to make one entrance and one exit. And in doing so, now all the children are huddled together going in, sneezing on each other and everything, and it's just kind of like, why? Because things were strange. Drive-by birthday parties, graduation parties. We're going to look back and be like, well, man, that's kind of crazy. But you just did what you had to do at the time. And being afraid to sneeze in public. Thinking, if I cough, someone is going to tackle me right now. Hoarding toilet paper. Some of you, you ain't right. All right, you still got some. And remember watching kids in sporting events wearing a mask on the bench, but not in the game? I think about how you try to recognize people by the top half of their face. I realize real quick, I try to smile at somebody when I walk past, give them a nod. You know, I realize really quickly that I started doing that, forgetting I had a mask on my face, so I'm just going to people. They're probably thinking, what is this guy doing? I'm like, I'm trying. Like, do you see my cheekbones? You remember how celebrities were trying to resonate with all of us normal people as they were quarantined in their mansions? Get out of here, you know. People wearing masks in their car by themselves. Wearing masks while smoking cigarettes. I'm just saying, it was constantly hearing about flattening the curve, the new normal, unprecedented times. It was so refreshing to turn off the TV, mute the news, get off social media, push back all of the voices fighting for my attention, and focus on the still, small voice of God. I'm reminded that we are always as spiritual as we want to be. The number one reason Christians don't read their Bible is because they just don't have enough time. During COVID, there were a bunch of us who had a lot of time. Did your Bible reading increase? If it did, are you still faithfully reading God's Word today? It was refreshing to open the book because I knew that I knew that I knew that what I was reading was the truth. When everything else around me was contradictory and felt like sand, God's word was the rock. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. I don't care what news outlet you followed during that time, none of it was perfect. And there were people who got up and made certain guarantees and 100%, and this is exactly what you should do. And a week later, they said the opposite, didn't they? And yet, the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's certain, making wise the simple. Can I tell you, God's word is still the only source of absolute truth. Number four, fear is a sin. Fear is a sin. The verse that I began with today, I started with that verse because on the YouVersion Bible app in the year 2020, that was the most read verse in the entire Bible. Isaiah 41:10, here it is again, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you think people were afraid? What did God teach us? Fear is still a sin, even when there is a legitimate reason to fear. Fear is a sin. The most repeated command in all of Scripture, fear not. If someone is living a life of fear, that means they are living in what? Sin. Sin. And I'm not talking about, we got to be careful. I'm not saying we can't be cautious. I'm not saying you don't do this or you don't do that. And I'm not talking about, you know, go out and lick a doorknob. We're not to tempt the Lord, right? Those with existing health issues, the elderly, were far more likely to have serious health concerns. I'm not talking about being cautious. But I had Christians say to me, Pastor Nathan, I am terrified. I'd never experienced that before. To live in fear means that we are disobeying the most repeated command in all Scripture. You say, but there was a reason. Exactly. Fear is still a sin, even when there's a legitimate reason to be afraid. The world was terrified, weren't they? I mean, the world is like Pharaoh. He fears the plagues of God, but doesn't fear the God of the plagues, right? But sometimes believers were more afraid than the lost world. And we had a chance to really show the lost that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us who does not give us a spirit of fear because we know where we're going. And yet often Christians show just as much panic and terror and anxiety as the world did. It's easy to say, don't be afraid when there's nothing to be afraid of. But as the world descended into panic, what did God teach us? Fear is a sin, even when there is a legitimate reason to be afraid. Number five, the church is essential. Remember that word, essential? Some of you fell under the category of essential during the pandemic. Not the rest of us, all right? But there were the essential workers. And one of the guys afterwards was sharing that he makes ceiling tiles. And he got a little sticker that if he were to get pulled over, he were to show this sticker. Some of you probably got the stickers like, I'm an essential worker. And I was like, I want to be essential, you know? I didn't get any sticker. Like, where's my sticker? And there was that word essential, you know, that was used a lot. What's essential? I'll tell you what's essential. The church is essential. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, this verse came up a lot during the pandemic. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. When I say the church is essential, let me specify, the local church is essential. You see, COVID-19 didn't take anyone away from the universal body of Christ, but in one way or another, every single one of us in our local church were hindered. We, like many churches, went to live stream only services. 6 weeks. Went 6 weeks. And we started streaming, and we're still streaming today. My wife reminded me in the early service, she said, this may get like flagged on Facebook. I'm giving all kinds of misinformation today, all right? So, but we started streaming, and what opportunities that's provided to reach people, and it's been a great blessing, honestly, to our church. I remember when we first started, and it would show like how many views we had, and then it was like hundreds of views, and then there were like thousands, then it was like 4,000 or 5,000 views, and you know, to be honest, I was kind of like, well, I don't mind if I do, you know, and basically a mega church pastor at this point, and then we like dug a little deeper to find out what a view is considered on Facebook, which is like a 30-second click, all right? And then I realized that the average watch time of those thousands of people was like 2 minutes and 20 seconds, and that I was most popular with women over the age of 60, all right? And so I was killing it with grandmas back during the pandemic. I was. And you know, but the majority of people who visit today, who I talk to, hey, how did you find out about the church? So many of them say, I watched a message before I came. And praise the Lord for that. And it's been a blessing. But like we heard, watching church in a live stream is like watching a fireplace on TV. You can see it, you can hear it, but you can't feel the warmth. The local church is where we use our spiritual gifts. The local church is to be the place where we regularly worship with believers. The local church is the primary means by how God edifies his saints, grows his body, and glorifies himself while reaching the lost world. It's been said that Jesus is the sacrifice for redemption, and the local church is the plan for redemption. In other words, the plan to get that message of redemption to the lost world. This is where we come to often learn how to pray and sing and love and serve. The local church keeps us accountable in our walk with Christ. It is essential. And what we heard over and over is that, well, the church isn't a building. The church isn't a building. And I would say, amen, it's not a building, but quite literally, it is an assembly. The word ecclesia literally means a called out assembly. And it wasn't so much that we couldn't come to a building, but that the assembly was hindered. That's what was bothersome. Maybe you remember during that time your zeal to come to church, your longing to be with other believers was at an all-time high. Perhaps your passion to be with the people of God was on fire. Maybe for others it just didn't really bother you. You know, there were some who, for long after, because that habit was broken, or for whatever reason, just didn't come back. 5 years later, we had people who came every Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, ministry training class, and every event in between who have yet to come back. That's tragic. There were some who didn't bring their family to church, but they made sure their kids got to sports. And in doing so, showed the world and the children what was truly intentional and essential and important. We got to the point where preachers were saying, hey, if you're back at the ball field, then you know, you got to get back to church, right? And then there are people who realize, and they thought, you know what, we are back at the ball field, we better get back to church. But can I say something, that church attendance is still more important than sports in 2025? So if you're still at the ball field instead of church, or you're missing church a lot more than you're missing the sports team, then you're showing your family what's essential. I think God gave us a wake-up call about how important the local church really is. You know, in 15 and a half years, 15 and a half years, I have not been in church on Sunday morning one time. Once. 15 and a half years. And the Sunday I wasn't, because I stinking got COVID. Matter of fact, not just me. 2020 kind of skipped LBC. 2021 hit us. And at one point, there were 70 people in the church who were at home because of COVID-19. 70, which at the time, that was about half the church, all right? So we kind of shut down services for a week leading up to Easter just to kind of purge a little bit. And I wasn't in church that Sunday morning. Even when we were streaming, I was here preaching from behind this pulpit. It was me and the camera guy, Blake Riffle, back there filming, getting my close-ups. And then eventually, like, I think Jerry Kern, like, came back in. He's never followed the rules very good anyways. And so he just showed up. But I was here 15 and a half years. 5,688 days I have missed on Sunday morning one time. Now, am I bragging? No. I say that because I think people miss church far too often for reasons that don't justify missing church. And if I've missed one time in 15 and a half years, it's by God's grace, and He's blessed me with good health. But with four kids, a family, sports, hobbies, vacations, you're not going to convince me you have to miss every 2 to 3 weeks. Ain't no way. People get sick. People go out of town. By the way, I think you still ought to go to church when you're on vacation. Crazy, I know. You're resting. Why do you need to rest from the Lord? Anyways, that's a different sermon, different day. Some people work on Sundays. I'm pretty glad that if this building were to catch fire, we could call somebody and those firefighters would be like, hey, we're all off today, man. I'm glad that we have some police officers and highway patrolmen out on the road right now. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm talking about all the times we could go, but we don't. So maybe your zeal was at an all-time high during the pandemic. I ask you, are you still as passionate today about how essential the local church is as you were then? We need church. Church is essential. Number six, Christ is sufficient. Christ is enough. He has always been enough. He will always be enough. I thought, how amazing is it that someone in their living room watching a church service online can call out to Jesus and God can save them right there. You don't have to come to an altar. You don't have to come to a pastor. You don't have to go to a priest in order to come to God. Christ is sufficient. He is enough. And I remember that during this time, Pope Francis historically imparted the extraordinary blessing on the entire world, allowing us, the common people, allowing us to obtain a plenary indulgence in the midst of the coronavirus, and he encouraged pastors and bishops to grant a general absolution to the people. In other words, at that time, the world, according to the Pope, was now permitted to go to God on their own and ask forgiveness of sins. And I thought to myself, how incredible! I get to go to God now and receive forgiveness of sins? And then it hit me, oh, wait a second. Jesus already settled that 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross, and I don't need anybody's permission to go to God to be forgiven. The cross is my permission because Jesus is sufficient. He's enough. When Christ is all you have, maybe you'll learn he's all you need. Colossians 2:10 says this, and ye, all those who are in Christ, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ is sufficient. You know what happened during COVID-19? The identity of mankind was ripped away. For those who found their identity in their job, in their career, many couldn't go to work. For those who found their identity in sports, couldn't play. In your grades, well, school changed a little bit, didn't it? For those who found their identity in their friends, they couldn't be with them. And for those who found their identity in their social status, it was taken away. There was no social status. There was social distancing, but no social status. And it seemed like the air had just been sucked out of the lungs of billions of people as the world felt a hopelessness it has never felt before. Why? During quarantine, COVID was up. And so was depression and suicide. So what's the correlation? Is it because that maybe everybody was locked down and things were hard? And did you know that in the UK, children were 5 times more likely to die by suicide than COVID-19 during the lockdowns? Were people depressed because of the economy? The uncertainty, their social life, because they couldn't go outside and get some fresh air, maybe. Or did we lose everything we had been placing our hope in, and when all of it was ripped away and all you had was Jesus enough? Christian, you are complete in him. Could God have been stripping away everything else in our lives in order for us to finally set our affection on him? Have you ever considered the possibility that the virus and the quarantine and the lockdowns, they weren't God's judgment, they were God's mercy? I mean, God is good by removing any lesser gods in our life. Spurgeon said, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me up against the rock of ages." That was a big wave, wasn't it? Could God have been pursuing you to the point of destroying every distraction, every excuse, every idol, every competitor in your life so that you might finally learn Christ is sufficient? Number 7, the end is going to be worse. The next truth, the end is going to be worse. That's kind of the proper way. I would say the end is gonna, all right? It's gonna, G-O-N-N-A. It's gonna be worse. God taught us how bad the end is really gonna be. You know, the question that I heard over and over and saw over and over, are these the end times? Is this the end? Is Jesus coming back? Is this the sign? Is this what it's going to be like? If anything, it was a good reminder that we aren't as safe and secure as we thought we were, right? I want you to consider this for a second. If we were to compare just a little bit this virus, the coronavirus, to the end times, I'm not minimizing any of the tragedy that took place, anyone who lost a loved one or a friend. Consider this, in the United States, which I believe was the third leading country for deaths from COVID-19, our country had a death rate from COVID of 1.2 1.2%. 1.2%, a disease with a death rate of 1.2% completely dismantled and shut down our country. We're not as safe as we think we are. You know, estimates back in the 1300s from the Black Plague were somewhere between 50 million and 200 million people who had died. This isn't the first pandemic our world has seen. It's not the worst pandemic our world has seen, and it's not the last pandemic our world will see. Somebody said, well, this is God's judgment. It was God's judgment against the United States because of things like rampant homosexuality and abortion. But when you do the math, it really doesn't add up. In 2020, there were less than, again, no matter how tragic, there were less than 7,000 deaths in Ohio in 2020 because of COVID. The year before, 2019, there were over 20,000 abortions in Ohio alone. The math just doesn't seem to add up. As a matter of fact, COVID was only the third leading cause of death in 2020. It wasn't even first, behind heart disease and cancer. I'm simply stating that, friends, do you realize that, you know, these loving governments, these world governments who are so concerned about human safety and public health, kill more unborn babies in 1 month than all the lives lost by COVID-19 all time because of women's health and reproductive rights? Worldwide, from 2020 to 2024, that's when they stopped keeping track, 2020 to 2024, worldwide, 7 million people died from COVID-19. It's nothing to scoff at. I'm not minimizing it. However, this month, the month of March, this month, worldwide, there will be more killed by abortion than all of COVID-19 all time, 1 month. The last time God judged the world because of sin, he flooded the entire earth. People dying from COVID, although tragic, is nothing compared to the end time judgment. People who are living during the last days will pray for what happened in 2020. The book of Revelation says 1/4 of the earth will die. The world is going to melt away. Is this God's judgment? The question was asked. The truth is, if there wasn't a lab leak in Wuhan, China, it could have been prevented. If information about the virus had gone public sooner, less people would have died. If there were more ventilators, less people would have died. If there were more hospital beds, less people would have died. If anything, this has prepared us for the next virus so that less people will die. I'm saying all that to say God's judgment does not work like that. It doesn't. Think back to the plagues of Egypt. God's judgment cannot be deterred by human intervention. When it is the Lord's judgment, no amount of ventilators or human effort can withstand it. When God judges the world in the last days, I doubt a single person will ask the question, is this God's judgment? No, everyone will know. Let me read Revelation 19, verse 12, just to get a glimpse, of how bad the end is going to be. Revelation 19, 12, it speaks of Jesus. It says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17, John the Apostle says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Friends, God's judgment will be unlike anything man has ever imagined. And when Christ comes back to judge the world, nobody's going to have to tell you he's here doing it. You'll know. You'll know. A fool would say, well, I'll just wait then. And when that time comes, then I'll say the prayer and I'll do the dance and I'll get saved. I would say it's not going to work like that. C.S. Lewis said, God will invade, but I wonder whether people who ask God to interfere openly and directly in our world quite realize what it will be like when he does. When that happens, it is the end of the world. When the author walks on the stage, the play is over. Lewis said, God is going to invade, all right, but what is the good of saying you are on his side then when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else, something it never entered in your head to conceive, comes crashing in, something so beautiful to some of us and so terrible to others that none of us will have any choice left. For this time, it will be God without disguise, something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. There is no use saying that you choose to lie down when it has become impossible to stand up. That will not be a time for choosing. It will be the time when we discover which side we have already chosen. Whether we realized it before or not, now, today, this moment is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance. It will not last forever. We must take it or leave it. Maybe God gave us a glimpse. Just a glimpse. Some ran to Jesus. The end will be so much worse. Lastly, number 8, and I'm done. This world is not our home. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Pandemics, wars, hurricanes, wildfires, death, they all remind us that this place is not our home. Now, for the lost, this is the best that it gets. The worst is yet to come. For the believer, this is the worst that it gets. And the best is yet to come. Jesus said, his kingdom is not of this world. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We long for a better country, which the Lord has prepared for us. Would you stand with me this morning? This world is not our home. As you stand, if you would bow with me for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. How many would say, Pastor Nathan, I have put my faith in Jesus for salvation. That is something that I have done in my life. I know where I'm going to be when I die. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? Amen. You can put those down. Is there one who would say today, Pastor Nathan, I'm not sure that I am saved. I don't know that heaven would be my home. Just between me, you, and the Lord. You'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm not certain that I'm saved. I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm not sure. Anyone else today? I see that hand. Thank you. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I want to invite you, if you're not saved, step out into that aisle, meet me here in the front. I'll be right here in the front to meet you. Allow me to share with you from God's word how you can be saved, to know for sure. Christian, I doubt I taught you anything new today, but maybe it was just good to be reminded of these truths. Did you forget about these truths? Maybe today, if the Lord's spoken to your heart about anything, you take this time to respond. Today is the only day you're promised. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful. You're doing a million things in our life, God, and we don't see even a fraction of it. Lord, let us be reminded that you are always in control. Even when things are out of our control, you have not surrendered your authority. I do pray for these ones who acknowledge their need of salvation. God, they wouldn't put it off anymore. They wouldn't wait. Lord, they're not promised tomorrow. I pray that they would walk that aisle, make that decision today to be saved. Lord, continue to work in our hearts. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to come today. If you have any need at all, you need to be saved, you come. We'll sing a song of invitation.